totally is a playground of the imagination and all kinds of other dark impulses, too. I guess Swamplandia feels like a real dividing line in my creative life for some reason. This is this book about a family of alligator wrestlers in what I call a mythic version of the Florida Everglades, largely to avoid litigation. I mean, it definitely resembles the Florida Everglades. And to call something mythic in Florida, you know, the line between sort of realism and the fantastical is a blurry one down there. And I spent my entire youth and adolescence in Florida. And it's just strange, you know, if your reference points for international countries are Epcot Center and there's all this artificial bedrock and then kind of naturally it's just a gorgeous place. The geography is so incredible. It's a mixed up state in a lot of ways. It took me a long time to get out of that peninsula. So I think a lot of my early work is sort of set in basically my backyard, you know, in the mangrove swamps or whacked out versions of the Florida Keys. And then with this story collection, Vampires in the Lemon Grove, and sort of some later stories and novellas and things, it really has felt sort of like getting my hobo bindle and leaving Florida, you know, imaginatively anyways.
I have felt for the last couple of years, if we're not in a golden age of short stories, we're certainly in the midst of a revival of the form.
It's exciting, isn't it? MFA programs, I think, have had something to do with that because it's a form that's sort of suited to workshops, right? You can read it all in one sitting. You can sort of respond to the beginning, middle, and end in a different way than sort of the Leviathan of the novel. But I also just think we've had Saunders' collection, obviously, that blew everybody away and maybe reintroduced people to the short story if they hadn't read it since Shirley Jackson's The Lottery in seventh grade. You know, I think there's a way where it's not often taught in high school, or the way that it's taught makes you feel like you have to excise the beating heart for the exam. You're not encouraged sort of to experience what's so pleasurable about a short story. Maybe that is happening. You know, people are sort of returning to the pleasure of it.
Well, I think there's also some connection to social media with the idea that people, when they make a Facebook post or whatever, they're sort of writing a little short story, because if it's very long, people aren't going to read it.
But right, that people are sort of paying attention to the economy of language in a different way. You have to hook people quickly if you just have 157 characters or whatever.
Are you the kind of writer who loves to read while you're writing, or do you like to just sort of segregate yourself and focus on what you're writing?
It's so funny. I mean, I've heard people say that they kind of quarantine themselves, which I can understand, but I think I'm eager to be influenced. It's never been a particular fear of mine that, like, Nabokov is going to over-influence any, you know, I'm like, bring it on, you know, anybody who wants to sort of ease in the bouillabaisse. So I do really love to read while I'm writing. I kind of love to read poetry when I'm working. It's concision, you know, and the suspense on the level of the line, sort of that suspense word to word, it kind of reminds you what you can do to sort of a handful of words. It's a nice sort of tonic for the mind. If you have never read a story collection or if it's been a little while, Kelly Link is somebody who writes sort of fairy tales for adults. She's uncategorizable. She's so strange. She has, you know, girls going to the underworld. She has a story about female astronauts who wake up and tell each other ghost stories in this sort of abyss, you know, and she's marvelous. It's the old pleasure, you know, like reading with the flashlight pleasure to read her. And then I have to shout this out. My brother has a great book out right now called I Am Sorry to Have Raised a Timid Son, and it's a lot of his profiles of maniacs, sort of these thwarted masculinities, so men who let snakes bite them to develop antibodies, island men, strange characters.
Have you ever been to Lawrence before?
I've never been to Kansas before, and I'm sort of obsessed with Kansas. You know, the Wizard of Oz, that was sort of where kids learn about being transported, you know, from the everyday into some, like, magical realm. So I think as a Florida kid, I really fetishized Kansas, and yeah, I'm sure that all of my stock footage is wrong. But I think sort of the Great Plains and Kansas in particular, you know, that's sort of where you can see so much sky in one glance because of the flatness. Florida has that too, many parts of Florida. And I do think that geography probably just shapes you, you know, just what your sight lines, what you've got in your sight lines.